Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John sees seven angels with seven trumpets, and one angel after the other sounded. Do you know what happens when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet? It's an event that billions of people have been longing for over 2,000 years now. Do you know what that event is? Well, today that's what we're going to talk about in our program. We're going to talk about what happens when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. And of course, in this series of programs, we've been talking about God's seven annual holy days and how they reveal God's progressive plan of salvation for the entire world. And in today's program, we're going to continue talking about the fourth out of these seven annual holy days. So this is the fourth stage in God's plan of saving the entire world. And we've been talking about trumpets since this is the Feast of Trumpets. And in Old Testament times, one of the reasons why trumpets were blown was to coronate the king. So whenever the king had a coronation ceremony, trumpets were blown. And you remember the story about Solomon when he was anointed king over Israel. Trumpets were blown. And it, again, pictures this time when kings are coronated. So that's exactly what we're going to see in the book of Revelation. So what happens when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet? You've guessed it. It's the coronation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what happens when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter 8 and in verse 2, it talks about the seven angels. So in Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now let's move down to Revelation the 11th chapter, and we'll read verses 15 through 18. That's Revelation the 11th chapter and verses 15 through 18. "And the seventh angel sounded." So we skipped the six angels and we're concentrating on the seventh angel. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, they fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come, because you have taken to you great power, and it is now your time to reign. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should give reward to your servants the prophets.'" Now notice the time frame. Jesus Christ is coming back, and the nations are angry. They're not happy. So when I say that billions of people have been awaiting this, these are the billions of followers throughout the ages of Jesus Christ. But there's many more billions who have never accepted Jesus Christ. They have never walked in faith. And so these will be angry with him. So this is talking about the second coming. And it says that it's the time when the dead shall be judged, and he's going to give reward to his servants, the prophets, and to his saints, and to them that fear his name, small and great. And notice this next part, and this is going to be especially important in our next program, but notice this part, "And he is coming back to destroy them which destroy the earth." Very important. I want you to keep that in mind for our next program. After Jesus Christ is coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it says that he's going to come back to destroy them which destroy the earth. He's going to fight against those nations that are angry with him. There's going to be a big time battle. And guess what? Well, I won't tell you what in this program. Again, I'll wait till next program. So let's just continue on this point about the coronation of the kings. This is in Revelation chapter 5 now that we want to read. Revelation chapter 5, and then verses 2 through 10. It says here, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" You also probably remember from reading the book of Revelation that there are seven seals. And so a question is being asked, who is worthy to open these seven seals? "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, So this angel wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look upon the book even. And one of the elders said to me, Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, he has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So Jesus Christ is the one, the only one, who is qualified to loose the seven seals. Continuing on, it says, And I beheld that in the midst of the throne there were four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, looking as though he had been slain. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God our Father by your blood, and you have redeemed us out of every nation, every language, every people, and you have made us kings and priests. Now notice this, we're kings and priests. Well, a king has an area over which he rules, and a priest has a people over which he teaches. So where are these kings and priests going to rule and teach? And we shall reign on the earth. That's where we're going to have our dominion, is on the earth. So people who are resurrected, when Christ is ready to return, they're going to come back with him and reign on the earth. So we have this event when the seventh angel sounds his seventh trumpet. You have Jesus Christ being coronated as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A resurrection occurs, and these people who are resurrected, the faithful followers of Yeshua, they'll be resurrected. They'll be given eternal life, and then will return with Christ as kings and priests to reign on the earth. Oh, what a wonderful and fantastic picture that we see in the Feast of Trumpets, when trumpets were blown to coronate the king. Now let's continue in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, because the story only gets better. And this part is going to show that, again, we will be reigning on the earth. So in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, it says, Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's what I just got finished saying. This is talking about a resurrection. On such people that are in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. So what do we mean by the second death here? Well, it's appointed unto mankind to die once. Everybody is going to die one time because of the sins of Adam, and then we have all sinned. As it says in Romans, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. So all of us, even if we accept Jesus Christ by faith and have our sins forgiven, all of us are appointed to die once. But we don't have to die eternal death. We don't have to die the second death. The second death is eternal death. We don't have to die that death. One death we die when we go back to the earth. From dust you are, from dust you shall return. That's the first death. But the second death is eternal death, from which there can be no resurrection. So that's why it says, Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, because when you are resurrected to eternal life, you cannot die again. So the second death has no power. But these people who are blessed to have part in the first resurrection, it says, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. So we're going to reign on the earth, and the first phase of that reigning will be for 1,000 years. But God's kingdom doesn't end after 1,000 years. The fact is, it never ends. Now let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 through 7 to prove this point, that God's kingdom never ends. So this is in Isaiah chapter 9, and verses 6 through 7. And this is a beautiful passage here also. I'm sure many, many people who are listening to this program are very familiar with this. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. His kingdom will never end. And it says, finally, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is not possible with any human government. This is only possible with God's government. The kingdom of God, once it is established on this earth by Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of lords and King of kings, when he returns to earth after the seventh trumpet is blown, then from that point forward, it will last forever. It's going to have a first 1,000-year period, and we're going to talk about that 1,000-year period also in a later program, because that relates to another stage in God's plan of salvation. In fact, that's the sixth stage, but right now we're talking about the fourth stage. In review, the first stage of God's plan of salvation for the entire world is captured in his first holy day, which is the Passover. That pictures the forgiveness of sins that is made available to all people who will accept Jesus Christ by faith. The second stage is pictured by the second holy day, which is the days of unleavened bread, and this pictures the time when Jesus Christ is put into us. He is the bread of life. He is the sinless bread of life. He's not leaven. He's not puffed up with sin. He's the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, the bread of life. We put Christ in, and that only happens for those who accept the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, because Christ is the only one who has ever truly been righteous. We can become righteous by accepting Christ's righteousness by faith. So that's the second stage. But again, that's only for those that accept it. The third stage is pictured by God's third annual holy day, which is the Feast of Pentecost. You remember that this was the time when the Holy Spirit was given. In ancient times, it was the time when the Ten Commandments were given. When you put those two together, we have God's law, not written on two tables of stone, but written on two tables in our hearts and in our minds. We actually grow in grace and knowledge. We become more and more like Christ every day, taking on his divine nature. This is the time when we are growing as the first fruits until the point where we come into the full maturity and stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the third stage, and obviously that's only for those people who accept the Holy Spirit by faith, who accept God's guidance by faith. Then we come to the fourth stage in God's plan of salvation, which is revealed by the fourth annual holy day, the Feast of Trumpets. That's when Jesus Christ is coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He comes back to the earth to rule and reign, but he comes back with his resurrected saints. All of those people who have accepted Christ by faith, and they have their sins forgiven, they have righteousness imputed to them, they have the law written on their hearts and minds, they receive the gift of eternal life, and they will be able to rule and reign with Jesus Christ over the earth.